Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
Today we're going to be talking about aliens.
Motherfucking aliens!
Unfortunately, we do not have Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 as a guest on this show, because I know he is super into aliens. That's about the extent of my alien knowledge. Oh, and also the Internet Explorer meme. Of Internet Explorer.
You've watched History Channel. You've watched History Channel, therefore you've seen Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, but like... anyway, so I'm gonna let Sophia open up the discussion on aliens, because I am... This is not my realm of expertise. So, Sophia, take it away.
I mean, what's there to discuss? They're pretty tight, bud. They hang out in the skies and in our oceans. They come cuddle me at night and spoon me a little bit and take little chunks out of my skin and use it to clone me and then send me off to go mine other planets. It's good fun. Now I'm fucking with you. to be honest, I don't really know a lot about aliens because, like, go figure. This whole episode's going to be a lot of conjecture and examination of, like, cultural stories that reference... trans-dimensional beings as well as aliens, because, like, honestly, you can't open up a discussion about aliens without talking about other dimensions, because you ever seen space-time? You ever fucked with it? You pretty much need to be, like, quasi-fourth dimensional to even be able to get to the other side of the universe, let alone, like, be spacefaring, right? So, like, I kind of feel like you can't divorce the two subjects from each other. Like, Scott, you were saying how you had the belief you were saying about aliens being from another dimension, right?
Ultra-dimensional.
And that's like, yeah, and that's like a thing that I've been really reading, because like I was watching a show about like indigenous people's interactions with aliens, and like that's straight up what some of the people believe in different areas, is that like they just live in another dimension that's on the same planet as ours. It's just a few rotations away, essentially, and there's like different groups of them. There's like little people in the forests and stuff, and then like there's obvious like UFOs in the sky and shit, but like it's not seen as like not part of what's real. Like, it's just kind of like it's obviously spooky to some people. It's not like every person's just gonna like see a UFO and be like, oh yeah, no, I was totally unafraid, even though that's like straight up how some of them act. It's just accepted more so. It's not like, oh, aliens aren't real, what's wrong with you, you know?
You know, exactly. I mean, I've had this thing where, you know, and for years growing up, I would be like, I've seen physical apparitions appear before my eye. You know what I mean? Like, people that sort of look solid but completely made out of moonlight have appeared right in front of my face. And I can tell you for a fact, I don't care what anyone tells me, I know ghosts exist because I've seen it. Now, the thing is like, you know, looking at folklore and I guess others, like minimal sources. I look, once again, I too, this is not necessarily my area of expertise. However, I also think that maybe all three of us are a little bit more learned than we think we are, given, you know, my position on this. I tend to think that even cryptids are ultra dimensional. So things like Bigfoot, the Yeti, things like that. If you read those stories, a lot of those stories come with what would be considered paranormal or psychic phenomena. You know, like there are people who have attempted to kind of rowl up the Jersey Devil, and they have poltergeist activity.
Yeah.
You know, there will not necessarily be a physical being present, but something is growling at them. You know, something is occurring. And the same thing with Bigfoot, too. There seems to be some psychic phenomena, if you will. You know, for those of you who will allow it, paranormal phenomena that's occurring alongside these things. It's just like with like when you read a lot about alien abduction, which, of course, I'll be honest, you know, the rational part of my brain for years hasn't really let me take them as seriously as people who believe in ghosts. But of course, as I've gotten older, and I know this kind of almost sounds counterintuitive, but I've learned to kind of open my mind up a little bit more and kind of realize that, hey, you know, there's an element here that I know from my personal experience, because even with abduction encounters, with many of them, there once again is this paranormal phenomena, psychic element. And a lot of people suggest that the abduction is of spirit, not necessarily of body. And the loss of time, which is experienced, as we know, as practitioners of magic, I'm sure all of us can talk about a time where we've cast circle and we've done work in which, you know, we are certain we were only, you know, either we were only there for maybe 15, 20 minutes and we were there for a short period of time, or, you know, vice versa, you know what I'm trying to get at. Like, time seems to act weird a lot of the time in sacred space. Yeah. You know, but all of this kind of stuff seems to occur. So it leads me to wonder, you know, I mean, before I get into that, also too, I wanted to bring up spirit beings in cultures such as the fairy and the, in Japan.
The yokai?
No, not the kami. Oh my God. Yokai, thank you so much. These beings, very similarly, are like, we have to understand, these beings are not necessarily spirits so much as they are ultra dimensional. Fairies and yokai similarly have physical mass, but are able to walk between a dimension that we are unable to get to, but they themselves are.
And so I would actually disagree with that, because not only one point, actually disagree with the part that we can't get there, because like throughout history, there have been like different seers who have been able to walk between.
And I mean, that was more of a generalized statement, not trying to, because I've also had experiences where almost shifted into something somewhere.
Yeah, I'm trying to fucking get there, you know? Like, but I'm like physically trying to get my ass out of 3D space-time and fuck off into the spirit world, honestly.
But, so when I say we can't, I don't mean we can't. I'm quoting here, I forget, we don't film anymore. I just mean to say it's a dimension that we don't readily have access to without trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
sort of spiritual, and also too, in my experience, it was for me, whenever I've had encounters, which were always seemingly time weirdness, that's how it started for me. It was, you know, it always kind of appeared, how do I put this? It looked very much like stories that you hear from these two distinct parts of the world that I've read about. So talking about fairy and yokai, you know, these kind of strange distortions of time and space. And these stories kind of seem consistent throughout. And then on top of that, now I also want to also say that a lot of my knowledge that I have right now comes from there's sort of a documentary series called Hellier. I actually think I brought it up in past episodes before. However, I do suggest people who are interested in the connection between occultism and aliens, if you're interested in that connection between the two, or whether, you know, you don't believe it or whatever, you just want to learn more, it doesn't matter. I suggest you look at seasons 1 and 2 of Hellier. It's a great show. That's a lot of where my sort of information is coming from. So it is kind of, I guess, secondhand. But the people on that show were incredibly educated in the field of parapsychology, including occultism and magic, because many of them are occultists. I know one of the lead investigators, Dana, is a practicing witch. So I mean, you know, it's what I'm saying is, it's interesting now that kind of occultists are taking an interest in the world of aliens, because it is kind of a wider topic. I've seen other names I'm not going to drop just because I don't feel comfortable doing it, but because it was on their personal Facebooks, but even like bigger name authors are kind of amongst themselves having discussions about aliens and where it intersects with things that, you know, we maybe wouldn't consider aliens, but you know, maybe our perception is a bit off, right? Like, what is and what isn't an alien? And now we're kind of getting new vocabulary and new research into a really interesting topic, especially one that's been so, how do I put this? Like, especially because
misunderstood,
and two, like, also as well, there's also this now that I'm seeing this kind of the parapsychological world is kind of opening up because of the in like mm-hmm. this huge influx of occultism and magic and witchcraft, and if they're kind also, of realizing, I'm so sorry. It just seems that the two worlds are finally coming to a place where they're interested in coming to a table to talk. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, even us three on this channel, you know, don't necessarily all agree about parapsychology and its place, or sort of occultism and its place surrounding parapsychology. But I know I believe that it has a place at the table, most certainly. But yeah, I like the fact that we're kind of now communicating, and there's a two-way conversation going back between some of the members of parapsychology, you know. And I think that, you know, the biggest reason was there wasn't a lot of conversation between the communities. I hate to say this, and I don't want to offend anybody in the parapsychological community, but a lot of paranormal researchers tend to be like right-wing, very, politically, and I don't know why, but a lot of people talk about it. They tend to be very conservative in like personal belief, and I don't know why that seems to be the thing. It might come from the same place that like a lot of conspiracy is based in right-wing ideology. I don't know, but you know, that's my guess, you know. So that's, I think, a big reason why the large portion of witches, occultists, magicians, what have you, were kind of always shunning parapsychology, if you will, and paranormal.
To be honest, research. I think that comes from like just arrogant bullshit. Like, honestly, I've shit on tradcrafts magicians a ton, because honestly, as a group, they kind of deserve to get it. But like, between tradcrafts, ceremonials, hermeticists, and cast magicians, everybody's so fucking up on themselves that they don't even like trust other people to be able to verify their own results. Like, they hear people like having a close encounter with this type of stuff and they think that, oh, they're crazy, oh, this person's just this, and everybody's so willing to just write everybody else off as like absurd, right? And I know, because I had a close encounter with a UFO, actually, like right up in my fucking face, sort of close, and it got me ostracized. People treat me like I was crazy, to the point where I just don't fucking tell anybody anymore, because like, what's the point? They'll either tell me that like I'm a CIA plant, or that like I lost my mind, or what have you. And it's just, it's bullshit. And like, I think what you were talking about with like, I don't know why people are kind of getting into aliens right now. I think it's just COVID. I think the world's so fucked right now that alien invasion, sure, that seems reasonable. That would be a logical thing to happen after everything that's already gone down this year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is, though, I mean, I can understand how, like, COVID could exacerbate that conversation, definitely. But the interesting thing to note is that a lot of the conversations that I was seeing on other, authors' Facebook, personal Facebooks, believe it or not, was before COVID before COVID was on our radar. You know, so
yeah,
I mean,
it's been building for a while. People been catching that current because, like, obviously something's coming. And like, if I were to go into my own personal anecdote, I did see a UFO. Yeah, it was a flying saucer, and it was up very close. I'm not going to go into great details about the story here. But it did happen at my hometown, and it was a fucking flying saucer, dude. And it didn't do that thing where it lit up the area around it like other stories happen. Like, this thing was, like, so fucking dark, I could only see it because of the lights that lit it up as, like, the top half spun one way and the bottom half spun the other. I could, like, see the lights rotating as they, like, went in different directions and stuff, right? Like, the thing didn't make a fucking sound, though. And for all I know, it could be secret government tech. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I had a bunch of witnesses, like my mom and sister, my ex-girlfriend at the time, they all saw it, right? And yet still people would treat me like I was crazy, even though I had four fucking eyewitnesses who were like, no, I was there, you know? And it's because, like, confirmation bias, like, people just want to go back to their simple worldview. Like, there's nothing that somebody hates more than information that upsets their world and changes what they thought everything was.
Right. I mean, and I can honestly kind of back that up with the experience I was just telling you about. I mean, I know not to bring it back to ghosts anyway, but that experience in particular, when a full-bodied apparition, you know, head, feet, the whole nine yards, almost seemingly misty and made out of moonlight. I actually forget or have, like, lately I've been remembering it more, but I think it's just because the more I bring it up, the more I understand that it was real. But for years after it happened, I would forget it. Like, literally, I would be like, oh my God, it would be like this memory that I have to dig deep for. And it would come up in conversation. And that, like you said, it's because it confronts our worldview. Even magicians, witches, what have you, for people who believe in magic and practice magic, we don't really believe in magic, right? But for people who practice magic, even for us, you know, we're not immune to our own psyche, you know, and of course, societal norm, if you will. So, yeah, you're totally correct. I completely agree.
Jay, what do you make of all this stuff? Because I know you were like, I don't have much to say about aliens, but you gotta have like, some kind of feels on that.
I mean, like, my only, exposure, as you can, I mean, I know, so it seems like, Sophia, you take more of the UFO, like, they come from another dimension, but they come to here. And Scott kind of likens it to parapsychology, kind of like loops them into that category. And so there's two different approaches to aliens, and really, like, the one that I have growing up, and just really the only one that I ever attached to, I mean, it's just what my mom always said. My mom said, I believe in aliens because there has to be something else out there. And so she was talking about the universe, another planet, galaxy, you know, whatever that may be. She wasn't necessarily, I don't think, talking about, like, alternate timelines or interdimensional travel or whatever it was. But she was just saying there's someone else out there that has societies like us, you know what I mean? It has some sort of culture, people, whatever.
Right.
So that's what she was saying. And I always carried that with me, because that just kind of became my worldview on it. I don't have a lot. I keep saying I don't. Lately, I have been, but historically, I didn't have a lot of psychic sort of things happen to me naturally, not without me really trying or working at it. But recently I have, but I don't know if I would lump that in with aliens, though. Like, I don't think aliens are what we would think are the Fae or anything like that. I don't think so, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. I feel like if aliens are what they are, then they're coming from another physical galaxy or planet in this universe.
So, like, I think there's room for both, to be honest. Like,
yeah, me too.
There's no reason why extraplanetary travel would be off the plate. And there's no reason why interdimensional travel would be off the plate. Like, you've watched Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when Rick wants an adventure, he goes to another planet or another dimension, right? I think it's kind of like that. Like, do you know who Carl Sagan is? Like, he was really big with, like, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
I've heard the name, but I'm not really familiar with him and what he did.
Okay. He does a wonderful YouTube video that I will DM to you to put into the show notes, and it's about fourth dimensional beings and how they would interact with our physical reality, right? And he explains it in a way that's really interesting and tangible. He like creates this world called two-dimensional land where everybody's like a square or a circle, and it's literally just a sheet of paper and they're just cutouts of paper, right? And they can only go in two dimensions, left, right, and back and forward, right? And so when these beings are interacting with each other, they can only see each other from that plane. And then for the example of a three-dimensional being, he uses an apple. The apple can be physically up above the 3D beings, but because they can't look up or down, they don't have that dimension, they physically can't see this apple that's completely able to observe them in perfect clarity, right? So when the apple wants to interact with them, what it'll have to do is come down to a two-dimensional playing field and insert itself in. And so, like, to make a reference of that, he takes the bottom of an apple and plants it into an ink tray and then puts it on the paper to show, like, the points of the bottom of the apple of where it would touch. And it shows how that's the intersecting plane where they'd see him. And then if the apple went deeper, he like cut the apple in half and like made a print with that and like showed how the shape of the 4D being would change based on what axis it's putting itself through the second dimension, right? And then he talked about grabbing the square and taking him up to the third dimension, which would be baffling and confusing. But on his way back down, he could see his friends. And then suddenly, it'd be like he appeared out of nowhere right in front of his friends, right? And this ties into what a lot of scientists that I know who are looking into more future levels of travel are talking about. It's that if you want to get across the universe, the real hot shit method isn't to do wormholes, isn't to like ride a wave, it's to pop yourself out of the dimension and then pop yourself back in at specific coordinates. Like, I don't know if you've fucked with a lot of really fringe knowledge, but essentially the shape of the universe is a toroidal field, which is an apple, right? And if you can pop out of that apple and you can look at the whole thing, you can choose which point to insert yourself back in, and also you can circumvent the fourth dimension, which is space-time, meaning you could theoretically insert yourself at any point in time as well, which is also like what Rick is capable of doing in Rick and Morty, right? And you know how he can interact with other versions of himself in alternate dimensions?
Right.
This entirely makes Rick a fourth dimensional being, or quasi fourth dimensional, because he, A, even if he dies, he still exists infinitely. There's still a council of Ricks. There's still an infinite amount of Ricks out there, all who have like the same capability to reach that point, right? He is almost a force of nature, kind of similar to what like a lot of us would consider God forms, like say Earth or the sun, you know? Like, for all we know, a star exists as a sentient fourth, as a sentient being beyond the third dimension. It's just that a giant ball of energy is the only corporeal form that we can perceive it as, right? Does that make sense?
Some of it makes sense. The Rick and Morty parts of it make sense to me, but the whole apple and the square shapes, that makes no sense to me. My brain is not very geometry wired like that.
Yeah, and see, it's interesting. I hate certain types of math, but you pull me into like huge geometry, like tesseracts and toroidal fields, and I just grok it, you know.
That's I did horrible in geometry in school. Algebra, however, I was actually kind of good at. I guess because it was formulas and it made sense. But then they were like, look at this shape, and then it's also this shape. And I was like, oh yeah, you lost me there. I don't know.
I did a little bit better with geometry than I did algebra, but that's just because algebra is not like other math. But anyway, well, I mean, unfortunately, like, I mean, I understood what you were getting at. I mean, it reminded, what I'm trying to get at, it reminded me of a friend of mine. She's a potter, or was a potter by profession. She used to do pottery and stuff. But she was spiritual, and she used to love an author. I believe his name was Melchizedek.
Drun below Melchizedek.
She one time lent me this book. It wasn't really my cup of tea, but that author believed that things like UFOs were someone's Merkaba. It's this kind of geometric pattern that's created when they soul travel, at least in my simplified understanding of the material. And he believed it was a solidified sort of Merkaba. Basically, what those are, the reason why they kind of seem to be uncatchable and oftentimes blurry, or oftentimes they're kind of not even material. Sometimes they just seem like a bunch of lights kind of swirling around in pattern. He believed that that was the Merkaba of either one person or many people traveling together. Whether they're from here or whether they were from somewhere else, I do not know. But it just kind of reminded me a bit of that.
That's interesting, because I am very aware of what Merkaba is. For those who are not familiar, it's supposed to be like the vessel of travel of the soul. And it's essentially supposed to be a three-dimensional Star of David. For those of you who do not know, that is a triangle that's pointing upwards and a triangle that's pointing downwards, interlocking with each other to make a six-pointed star. A three-dimensional version of this would be two pyramids superimposed directly with each other at the center to make like a giant pyramid star, essentially.
Huh.
Yeah, look it up. It's some interesting shit. You kind of can't, like, get into this stuff without touching into, like, Kundalini, Merkaba, and, like, soul travel, and then you get into, like, all kinds of shit. And it just kind of, like, starts becoming incredibly interconnected, you know? It seems like it's leading towards that, like, transcendental point at the end of time that people talk about called the singularity, where, like, it's happening, baby. We're almost there.
I'm just waiting for, like, some alien race to touch down in their spaceship, you know, like in the movies. And they just look at us and they're like, guys, you blew it way out of proportion. We're just stopping by. Y'all are a mess. See you later. Like, I can't wait for that to happen one day.
As much as I love the idea of that, they're already here, I think. I'm, like, pretty certain they're keeping us from nuclear fucking Armageddon right now. Well, like, without going and sharing stuff that I'm not allowed to share on the podcast, like, I could tell you all this stuff private 1v1. Like, I've had some really powerful experiences when I'm, like, lost and needing guidance, and I look up to the sky and I see some real shit, and I'm like, oh, fuck, okay, thanks, you know?
Hmm.
Like, I firmly... Firmly, in fact, I believe more that UFOs are here than I believe in demons, and I wear a Six of Mars pentacle constantly. That's how confident I am in that.
If aliens were here, why do they? I mean, I don't know. Are they stuck here? Can they not leave? You know, why do they?
No, here's the
why
thing.
Do they care? That's my thing. Is why do y'all give a shit about a species that is hell bent on destroying itself? Just
well, first
on.
And foremost, humanity's not hell-bent on destroying ourselves. That's a very misguided, that's like a Western idea. Like, corporate overlords want you to think that it's the species who's destroying ourselves, when statistically it's, like, less than 0.1% of the population that keeps doing this. And it's just, like, the effect of a continued power structure over the course of millennia, right? So essentially they're here, in my opinion, to, like, make sure we don't nuke ourselves back to the fucking Stone Age.
Well, then why does 1% of humanity want to destroy 99% of humanity?
They don't want to destroy it. They want to own it. They want to be gods.
But they're killing it.
Yeah, because they're sick. It's mental illness. Look, like Jeff Bezos, for example. This guy has enough that he could do anything in the world. He could form his own fucking country. He could build a spaceship and just blast gold $1 billion into the fucking sun for all he cares.
He's a fucking still alien. Out there.
Maybe he is. That honestly would make sense, is if there's like a group of aliens who are like using our entire planet to like farm us as some kind of like soul trap of terror, where like they feed on us and make us feel like we're responsible for all the things that they do to us, so that we can develop like paranoid neuroses and they can feed off of that shit like at 3 a.m. with some fucking sleep paralysis shit going on. I know that's like real tinfoil, but like, come on, we're having an aliens episode. I gotta bust out the tinfoil.
I mean, I think I buy that theory the most.
Like, not gonna lie, like, it seems awfully convenient that everything in the news is always telling you that everything is as horrible as it possibly can be all the time, that it's hopeless, that we're bad, that it's all never gonna work. Because they just want you to be helpless and feel like it's shit. It's like they're just fucking transcendental vampires that just feed on you from another dimension.
Well, I think I hope I never find out. Actually, no, I kind of do want to find out. Well, that would make life really fucking meaningless then, wouldn't it?
But if I can, I mean, if I can say too, though, I do think that space is too vast for there not to be something else, like another civilization of people. Like, I mean, there's even biologists who believe that. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost statistically improbable that we're the only conscious, aware species of being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there has to be something, you know?
I mean, we're not even the only conscious aware being on the planet, you know?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, but like, you know what I mean? Like, people.
I know what you mean. I'm just saying, like, it's not, you don't even have to go that far to find other intelligent life. Like, in dolphins and stuff, like, the universe is code-wired for life, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true. We are understanding that animal intelligence is much more complex than what we thought.
Oh, yeah.
There's been
and, like,
a lot
herd mentality
evidence.
And everything.
There's been a lot of research right now. I mean, you know, we're seeing, like, animals that we would be like, they're dumb. And now we're understanding, like, it's possible that there's no actual dumb animal. It's just we couldn't comprehend their intelligence because of the limited science.
I've been
but
hearing
now
a lot
we're starting
of,
to expand and...
Mm-hmm. I've been reading a lot of articles lately. It's funny you mention that about, like, octopi. Mm-hmm. About how intelligent they are. About, I don't know if any of this is real. I think some of these were just kind of, like, just random posts that people shared. But, like, really, like, an octopus was able to get out of its tank, do something, and then, like, get back in.
No, that's true.
That is
true. Those are four facts
true.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so they're, I mean, and if there's any, I guess, classic alien look-alike creature on this planet, it would definitely be an octopus.
Yeah. God, wouldn't it be crazy if, like, a spaceship comes down from space and all of a sudden, like, it opens up and, like, dolphins in bubbles of water floating out come and say, hey, I hope you've been good to our cousins, and look at the ocean and go, what the fuck have you been doing?
Right?
That'd be kind of cool. Very eldritch, but very cool.
I'd be down.
And they'd be like, oh my god, what did you do to the lore keepers? And then there's, like, someone eating squid and they're like, for octopus. But I mean, in native culture, like, animals always had significance in knowledge and teachings, right? Like, you can learn stuff just by watching them and being around them and in proximity, right? And like, it's almost like they come from another realm too, right? It's like, I don't know, this is kind of like what my gut says. It's like this world was built from putting together other worlds, you know? It's almost like creator smashed together like 20 different Dying Worlds and was like, let's have a fucking blast here. It'll be Funapalooza instead of like a bunch of dying dimensions. And now we got like birds and fish and people and cars and robots and leprechauns and transcendental beings and Tuatha De Danann coming out of the mist and having wars with like the Gaelic people of Ireland. And oh man, if you go into history, there's just non-stop fucking examples of extra dimensional shit coming in and fucking stuff up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and I mean, a lot of that too has, how do I put that, what was I trying to say, hold on, a lot of that, like, kind of relates directly back to magic itself, you know, this whole idea of beings coming to teach humanity things, you know, they come to teach healing and music and, you know, whatever. I mean, we find that throughout almost pan-culturally, you know what I mean?
So why don't we just summon them?
Well, I mean, and that's like, I mean, right there is. Mm-hmm.
How about instead of like cursing the moon in witch talk with all these baby witches, we get everybody together to summon Bigfoot and aliens and chupacabra, and we're gonna fuck up the establishment with monsters, man, and aliens and all that good shit, you know.
Basically bring the mist to life by accident now.
I mean, not the mist, that's some fucked up shit. But I mean, like, let's be honest, nothing would fuck up the establishment more than an army of monsters and real magic and transcendental beings and shit, you know?
Yeah, but who's saying that those monsters would do that? Like, what interest do they have in destroying those establishments? What do they get out of it?
Quid pro quo. First off, I'll tell you this. There ain't a single monster on the planet that don't hate the man.
Yeah, but okay, so you summon a monster. What stops it from just killing you?
Mutual agreements. Mutually assured destruction. This really big sword I have in my hand. And a very nice smile and a polite statement of like, hey, I mean you no harm. We could get rid of that guy who's causing us both harm. How you think about that?
No, I think some of these creatures are, especially like just from myth and folklore, I think like if you summon them up, I think they'd be like, oh, well, you're also part of the problem. I don't know. I think some of them would really like go after someone who summoned them.
I mean, it depends.
I mean, like, I kind of like, I feel what Jay's kind of putting down here. Like, I think, I mean, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, it's kind of like thinking about more like the more like how morality of things that aren't on our plane are very different from human morality, right? And how we perceive that. And I mean as someone who spirit works a lot as part of, you know, a big part of their my tradition, it's true that, but it is true that, so what I'm trying to say, it is true that there are beings that are kind of like, what am I getting out of it? Like, what right. are you going to give to me if I help you? But like Sophia said, it's kind of like, you know, bargaining and whatnot, you know,
I think it's more who you know. Like, honestly, it depends on the culture, but not all spirits require you to have to do something for them, like to make a deal, right. You know, like there are just things out there that will help you out of the goodness of their hearts, you know.
That is true. That is true too. That is absolutely 100% true. Yeah. But of course, I mean, I've encountered things that just really didn't
care
about anything except for, you know, to wreak havoc amongst wherever it is that they could touch.
I'm just gonna get real judgy here. I feel like that's the fae.
It was a fae. I know. I mean, being somebody with
not even like all the fae,
distinct, but like a very distinct connection to them. But I this was something else. This was something born out of something that I couldn't really comprehend. I can understand what fae is. Like, I can't talk about it, but I have a particular connection, and it's all that needs to be said. But whatever the beings that I've run across. I mean, I don't know.
In my experience, it depends entirely on the culture. If I were to go dial up a being, if I did it respectfully and asked for help and I was like, hey, I need help to deal with, like, this pipeline, they're going to be fucking happy to help me. Like, actually happy to help me. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, mm-hmm. if I try and call the Fairy Queen for a favor, I know I'm in for a hell of a bargain. You know, I'm going to have to do some shit for that, right? So it depends your tradition, the land spirits you're working with.
Yeah.
It's very case by case, right? And I think that's true. Also mm-hmm. a little bit of a holdover of European tradition of, like, shit's kind of been, like, I'm just going to throw this out there. Europe got colonized ages ago. A lot of spirits from Europe have been angry for a very, very long time without getting any type of proper offering, without getting any type of proper ceremony. So you dial them up after 1,000 years of that shit, and they're like, what the fuck do you want? You know?
Yeah.
It's like kind of a different attitude and different environment, right? But stuff over here isn't necessarily going to be the same way, you know? Like, not all the land out here has just been abandoned. Like, there still are people who care to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting, because you made a really good point, Sophia, about how, like, it's dependent upon, I mean, even more so, like, we can even argue too, or at least I would, that it's also dependent upon the nature of your relationship with those beings. Like, I work with, you know, a Scottish witch goddess slash, you know, fairy queen, right? I mean, that's her whole thing. Nick Nevin.
Yeah.
And I actually don't need a lot. Like, I mean, there are times where she wants little things, but, you know, it's always like apples or honey and oatmeal and stuff like that. Like, it's really easy stuff. Or I could just say there's an old Latin incantation for her that's sort of like a praise, and it's oh my col Regina, pregmigorum veni, and I'll say that a couple times, and she appears, and it's just kind of like, what's up? What's wrong? What do you need? You know? And as long as I'm continuously kind of I mean, I guess my thank you is kind of at times, most times, more than enough. But that's because of a certain, like I said, this connection that I have with the fairy and that world. But also, too, it's just because of the relationship that I built up with Nick Nevin and the amount of trust. But so I totally understand what you're saying, because I mean, like, there could be another person who worked with Nick Nevin, and maybe she wants something particular from them. You know what I mean? On mm-hmm. particular days, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it could be different things for different people, and it could be the same spirit that we're working with. It's just they want something different from. I'm sorry, I don't mean to ramble. I get what you're saying.
No, I love it. And like, maybe someone did something to piss off McNevin, and so they need to do more for her to earn her trust back, right? Like, these are things that spirits will do, right? So if you're someone like me, and I'm not gonna like brag here, it's just an example. I've had times. Have any of you ever been turned around when you're in the woods?
Turned around. Yes.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like this. I was in woods over here getting firewood with a friend, a new friend I'd actually just met recently. And he told me, don't go far. And I said, don't worry, I'm an experienced bush person. This is fucking true. I'm from like the middle of nowhere in BC. I have done day-long hikes into the woods where you walk for 4 hours one way, you rest, you walk for 4 hours back. Right? And you need to be able to remember your fucking path, otherwise you die. And you need to be able to navigate and all of these things, okay? In a city park, I got lost walking 10 feet ahead of this guy, okay? I was just looking at a plant. It was specifically yarrow flower. And a white butterfly. Yeah, I know. You're laughing. You're going to laugh harder. And then a white butterfly comes by, and I see it, and it catches my attention, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, it's pretty, and it spins me around, because it flies around me, and I spin looking after it, right? And so then I keep walking, and I turn around, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't where I was. And I hadn't even gone 10 feet, and he wasn't behind me. So I'm like, okay, calm down. You're an experienced bush person. Pick one direction and walk in it. You're in a city. It will not go for more than 200 meters. I was right. I was 100% right. I got to the edge of the tree line, and I was like on the opposite end of the forest when I came in. So the person I was setting up camp with sees us go into the bush on one side, and all of a sudden me just pop out on the complete other end and like come walking up to camp, and they're like, where did you come from? And I'm like, I got turned around. And they're like, is that person still in the bush? I'm like, oh my God, yeah. So I'm like, I just full blown sprint to go catch up with them, because they're getting wood by themselves in the woods, right? And when I get there, there's like someone who had like came up to them and been like, hey, do you want a blowjob? And he was like, no, get away from me. And the person was like kind of harassing him, so he had to like kind of grab a stick, and he was like getting freaked out, and I like come up and get his attention behind. He like looks like he's seen a ghost. I'm like, you okay? And he's like, yeah, man, let's get the fuck out of here. And we're like, oh. And so then like we get out, and I tell him the story, and he's like, where did you go? And I'm like, I'm telling you, man, I got turned around. That shit is what happens, okay? Now, the reason nothing bad happened there is what I was doing when I got turned around was I was picking up garbage and saying, wow, what lovely woods you have, okay? I was being respectful. If I was not being respectful, some bad shit would have happened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you have to respect the land that you're in. You have to respect those spirits and what they're trying to tell you and what they're trying to do to you and for you. It's interesting, though, that some talk of the Fae came up. Because I actually have a growing relationship with the Fae that I never really sought out the Fae before. I knew that they were linked to, you know, like, my heritage, I guess, because, you know, I'm, like, English and British, Scottish, you know, whatever. So I know that there's a link there just by blood, but my family was never particularly big on any fairy lore or anything like that. But when I did start my practice in witchcraft, the only thing that I really ever attributed to fairies was losing things. And because I was always under the impression that like when things go missing, it's the Fae. Recently, I picked up a book from Barnes & Noble. You know, like those really nicely printed collection books they have.
Oh, like the Element Encyclopedia of Birthdays.
Yeah, and that they also they also sometimes have ones for like Aesop's Fables or like Grimm's Fairy Tales and stuff like that. They're like really nicely bound, and they have the little fancy bookmark in them. But I saw this one book. It was Irish fairy folktales, I think. Was the name of it. Oh yeah, that's the one that you were eyeballing at my house over the weekend. So I picked that up, and I was like, you know, whatever, it's a book, it's a little bit of an impulse purchase, but you know, I know that these stories have so much magic in them, which is why I also picked up a copy of Grimm's, you know, just to go through that old magic and pick things out. And I would say before then, but definitely after I brought that book in, we have increasingly lost things. Like, I shit you not, like, you put something down and it's gone. You had it in your hand, and it literally feels like it was actually picked from your hand. And we were going nuts for, like, weeks. We were like, this is ridiculous. Like, why can't I lose things? And I knew it was all coming to a head when I had gotten all my paperwork together to send to Social Security, because I'd finally gotten everything that I needed to send to the Social Security office to get my new Social Security card so I could file my taxes. This has been my thing for like the past fucking year of my life, is trying to get this sorted out. So I'm packaging it all up, and then there was some trash papers on my desk, and I was like, oh, I'm going to throw these out, and I'm going to put these papers in an envelope, and I'm going to mail it tomorrow after I'm done work, right? I took the trash papers to the trash, and I threw in the trash, you know, whatever. And I could have swore that I put those important papers in an envelope. And I also could have swore that I put that envelope into my backpack to take to work. And the next morning I get to work, the envelope's not in there. And I'm like, fuck, did I really forget to put that in? You know, I'm like blaming myself, you know, getting on myself. I'm like, fine, I'll grab it when I get home. Do it another day. That's fine. I get home, and those papers are nowhere to be found. They're literally nowhere. I can't find them anywhere until I have this moment, and I'm like, I'm gonna look in the fucking trash can because I really think they're in there. And Katie was here, actually, and she was helping me tear apart my house looking for them. Don't you know, they are in my fucking trash can. Yeah. And so I've been saying for a bit, like, we've been losing things. I'm like, it's the Fae. They want an offering. They want our attention. You know, like, it's the Fae. It's the Fae. Because when you lose things, it's the Fae. And they had gotten so pissed at me to the point, like, I think, like, I guess it's, like, similar to, like, how, like, you can be ridden by a spirit or something like that. You know, like, yeah, kind of like possession, but not. I think that's what happened to me. I think, like, they were just like, nope, you're going to throw these in the fucking trash because you're going to learn your lesson. We need to talk to you. Like, you need to talk to us.
Man, the best thing I ever did was move out of a house with the fucking Fae influence in it. My last roommate had a silver Fae bell. Like, I'm not shitting you, a circular bell with a fairy on it. And I'm like, where did you get this? And he's like, I've had it since childhood. And I'm like, what do you mean you've had it since childhood? He's like, it's just always been in my life. And I'm like, your parents don't know where you got it? And he's like, no. And I'm like, fucking Fae. And like, I'm not kidding you. I couldn't keep a bead on anything in that house. It would constantly go missing. But like, I could hang my keys on something and it would just be like gone. I'm like, nobody's fucking business. Here now? Everything is where I leave it. Everything is exactly where I leave it. It got to the point where I was putting pentagrams on everything because it would go missing if I didn't, right? I had a pentagram on my bus pass. I had to get a fucking pentagram for my keychain. Like, it was absurd.
You must have looked like some edgy edgelord, like, Hot Topic witch, you know?
like, who's this bitch carrying six pentagrams on her, like, on herself and like
people are like we get
pentagram
it
on everything. And I'm like, you get it. And they're like, what? I'm like, the fairies will steal my shit if it doesn't have a pentagram on it. And they're like, okay, this bitch has lost it, you know.
But yeah, so and one of the other signs was Joyce has these like, they're plastic, but you know, like with little fake plastic beads in them. So they're gauges. They're silver. And they have like the tree of life in them.
Oh, neat.
With like little beads. They're really cute. Well, the one weekend when I was outside cutting the grass, I found one outside, and Joyce had mentioned that they had lost one, but lost it in the bathroom. Like, I dropped it in the bathroom, and I have no fucking clue where it went. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to help you. Maybe one of the cats probably took it and, you know, hid it somewhere. We'll never find it now. So I was outside cutting the grass, and I'm sweeping up the grass clippings, and what is in the middle of this grass pile is one of those gauges.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I was like shouting, I was like, Joyce, get out here. And I was like, you'll never fucking believe what is in this pile of grass. And they were like, oh my fucking God. Like, we need to do something. I was like, I know. And then this was a classic tale of like, I was procrastinating. I was putting it off. I was like, I'm tired. I'm this, I'm that. And I was putting off this ritual for them. I was putting off all of this magical work that I had to do. And we finally actually did it Friday. We did it Friday. And it was really great. It was like an incredible, incredible ritual. And I actually really felt a connection because their presence was so strong in the house because they've been here for a while, you know, really getting our attention. And the ritual was so great. And I really talked to them, and they gave me this image in my head of this tree outside my neighbor's house. As I noticed when it rains and I walk by, there's these little divots, like where the root base is of the tree, and it creates little pockets and it makes these little pools. And whenever I'd walk by, I'd always be like, I feel like they're fairy pools, or I feel like fairies would gather there, or like fairy creatures would gather there and enjoy that water. And so they wanted their offering to be left there, and that's what we did on the equinox, is we went outside at night and we left the offerings there. And we have had zero things go missing since. And Joyce actually found, so we had bought these torch lighters forever ago. We bought like 5 of them. And we couldn't find any of them. We were like, I don't fucking know where all the torch lighters went. And they're like the good lighters, you know, it always sucks when you lose your good lighter. Joyce said, I think it was actually yesterday, Joyce came up to me and was like, you'll never believe what I fucking found today. And I was like, what? And they were like, all 5 torch lighters that have been missing forever. And like, it's not that they were all in one spot. Like, oh, one was in this place, one was in this place. And Joyce was like, every like thing that I looked in today just to do whatever, I found a lighter. And then, oh, and I found another one, and I found another one. And I was like, wow, that's fucking wild. It's like, it's that moment when you're like, oh, I'm a witch and I believe in all these things. But when things actually correlate and link up, you're like, oh damn, like I wish more people paid attention.
You believe in it until you realize how much it's kicking your ass, and then you're like, wow, I didn't even know.
Exactly.
I love, yeah, a lot of the time those are like house spirits or house fairies, the ones that like to take things. I mean, they're the most common. They tend to be the ones that enjoy their time around people.
Yeah, although I definitely get that feeling. I'm kind
of thankful that, I mean, there are a lot of benevolent and malevolent, fairies out there, but the house fairies, or the hob of the house, you know, the house deity, if you will, which it was formerly anciently known as, it was believed that, you know, a god lived in your house. It was the god of your house, your house deity, your hob, your demivoy, you know, it has thousand different names all around the world, but yeah, so I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I can really grok that. There's also like the indigenous idea of little people, which is like spot on with the idea of fae, of like small people who you can't see, although sometimes you can see them, and they don't necessarily do tricks, but sometimes they'll take things away from you. I've never encountered them in a malicious manner. I've been told if you treat them as though they're evil, they will act accordingly. Same thing with being good. To me, they've always kind of been helpers. Like, if I go to get something and it's not there, it's either A, I really should be attending something else with my time and attention at that moment, and what I'm being pulled away from is actually a distraction, or I'm being called to observe my environment. And sometimes, like, I'll be looking for a lighter, for example, and I won't have a lighter to have a tote. So I'll look up and I'll look around and be like, does anyone have a lighter? And I could notice then that on the outside of the circle, somebody is having an incredibly intense emotional discussion, and I can come over and help mediate in an organic way and be present just by asking for a lighter. Stuff like that. It's like incredibly intuitive, right? And if you learn to like humble yourself and listen and look and see and feel, then you can learn great things from your lighter being missing, right? Or your keys being gone. But if you're stubborn and blockheaded and you refuse to listen, well, then it can go down a very different path, right? And it's interesting because these spirits seem to do stuff because they know that we can recognize them. Like, here's the honest truth. If you were a 4D being who could fuck with 3D beings, would you really fuck with the ones who are not going to admit that you actually exist?
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're gonna fuck with the ones that talk to you and talk back. And when you do something and they're like, hey, I didn't like that. And you're like, oh, you didn't like that, did you? well, let's see what you got next then, huh? And, like, I play that fucking game. I'm sure you all would, too. Like, what makes you think that, like, other beings wouldn't, you know?
Right, which kind of, like, brings me back to the idea of, like, when people summon beings and stuff like that, I just feel like, I think it's something that comes along that you see maybe in a lot of those witch talk kind of circles. You're like, oh, I talk to this god on the regular. Like, I don't know how to feel about those people who have, like, these relationship. Like, I feel like some of the gods that people have, quote-unquote, relationships with, like, really strong bonds and relationships with, I don't know if those entities would really behave in that way.
Okay. I swear to God, this is gonna become my fucking new catchphrase, but it depends. It depends entirely on the individual, right? Like,
yeah.
I pour Legba, Papa Legba, I pour him a cup of coffee every morning because he helped me out. I don't ask him for anything ever. He doesn't, like, show up to me in my daily dreams or doesn't, like, fuck around and do a bunch of stuff. I pour him that cup of coffee because he helped me out and gave me a gift in the dream a long time ago, and I appreciate it, and I pay that forward as a respecting relationship, right? Like, I'm not pretending that to have pretenses to be something greater. And if I do call a spirit, I definitely don't fucking set a circle and force it into it.
Yeah, I think that, like sometimes that's the perception that can come across, especially, like, in the occult community when we talk about. I feel like people have different ideas of what it means to summon or work with spirits or, you know, or work with other entities. I feel like sometimes there's a divide on how that works. I feel like some people perceive it as like, well, I summon this thing into my magic circle and now you must, you know, do as I say, or, you know.
Yeah, and be subservient.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, those situations where you connect with that being by accident. They present themselves to you, or you stumble upon them. You're doing a working with a friend and you stumble upon this entity by complete accident. You weren't even attempting to contact that one. You dialed up a different one.
Oh, I've done that a couple times.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess it's difficult to say how one experiences something that we cannot. I guess there's no, we can't just, like, call 1-800-THOR, 1-800-LOKI, you know, and I talk actually, to them and be like, hey, what are you guys actually fucking like?
You know, I'm not going to give you too much details, but there is actually a being that I physically phoned one time using my IRL phone because there was, like, a hidden message in an album that I had listened to. And it gave me a phone number to call, so I called it and left the message and, like, told them how it could call me back. And after I did that, like, a whole bunch of shit started happening, right?
Really?
So, like, yeah, I'm just saying, man, like, when you start walking the path, you have no fucking idea how weird it gets. It like ET phone home kind of shit. I'm serious, dude. Like when I was going through some shit, it could have been a mental health crisis, but like I was full blown expecting to like see aliens within the year, just from like how crazy the world's gone with COVID. You know, like it feels like everything's ending, and like of course aliens would show up to be like, hey, sorry you guys had to go through this, but we're here. Sorry we took so long, you know, or some shit like that.
Or right? They show up and they're like, hey, experiment's over, so.
Yeah, the simulation.
The Earth project is being terminated.
The simulation's fucked. We're setting it back to like 1802 to just like retry this. We're sorry. We just wanted to see what we could get away with, you know.
It's gone too far.
Yeah,
Actually, one portrayal of aliens I will say that I loved in media was American Horror Story.
Oh.
It was Asylum?
Yes. I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I never watched them when they came out. Joyce actually has kind of been getting me more interested in them. I've watched a couple of them so far, and I'm like, these are actually pretty good. It's true, though, what they say. They start off strong, and then the plot holes just get bigger and bigger as the story goes on. But it's a fun ride either way. So in Asylum, obviously it deals with an asylum. So there's the concept behind the asylum. It's run by the Catholic Church. The doctor is an ex-Nazi, and basically there's a whole lot of people there who are actually sane and shouldn't be there. And there's a whole lot of people there who are, you know, do have mental health issues and, you know, are being abused. So that whole idea of the horror asylum, run by the Catholic Church. But for some unexplainable reason that they never fucking address, is that the main character, he gets abducted by aliens. And they frame it as he murdered his wife. But she was also abducted by aliens.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And so he gets committed to the asylum because he's like, I didn't murder my wife. I was abducted by aliens. You know, he's like, I can't explain it. But, you know, there was a white light. And they don't really go into a lot of detail about what it was like, because he's like, I don't remember. It just, they were there. And then it comes out, and this has been on forever, so I'm not going to say this is a spoiler at this point. Like, and then later on in the series, the Nazi doctor believes the guy and says, I believe in these aliens you speak of, because he wants to study their technology. Basically, they surmise that the aliens intervene whenever this guy's life is in like mortal danger. When he's in mortal peril, the aliens arrive. So the doctor's like, I'm going to medically almost kill you and then bring you back, and then that should, you know, bring the aliens here. And they do. They pull it off and the aliens come. But the thing is with the aliens is that they can like alter time. They can alter the way time goes. And the people that they abducted are like euphoric about their experience. Like, sounds, they're like, right. Yeah, like the one person was super euphoric about the experience, and then the other, who's actually they really bring in the concept of like a poly relationship too in this show. It's a really bizarre season. If you're gonna watch any of them, Sophia, I think you would like this one, Asylum. But so the one guy's wife, you know, she was abducted by aliens. She wasn't dead, and she hated, you know, she has like trauma about the whole experience. But the other one that he actually ended up hooking up with in the asylum, she has a completely euphoric experience about the aliens. And I feel like maybe that's just how we each experience other worldly entities, you know, like some people have like those two people both experience the same exact thing, and yet they feel completely differently about
it. Mm-hmm.
And what I mean, like, I about the aliens in that show is that they don't explain it. They don't explain how it works. They don't explain why. They just say they just appear.
I don't know. I can't say one way or another, like, because that's like a work of fiction, you know, and it could be, because sometimes fictions really do that thing, like Evangelion, where the creator has no idea, and they think they're just making a meaningless work of art that has, like, giant robots and, like, the Lance of Longinus and stuff, and then, meanwhile, people on the other side are like, no, this is, like, a whole bunch of, like, Kabbalistic knowledge you're dispensing, whether you like it or not, you know,
like, kind of like how people pick apart like Rick and Morty, like they get like real philosophical about it.
Well, I mean, Rick and Morty's different. That's very fucking deliberate. Like,
is it?
Like, oh yeah. Like, I'm gonna tell you this: when you go and watch Evangelion, even if you listen to the creator talk about it, he doesn't say like, yeah, I was trying to make this thing that's like so amazing. He actually kind of hates his work at this point, and he's like, it's meaningless. I don't care anymore, like, sort of thing, because they had to deal with, like, a whole bunch of hate from the fans and stuff. But there's huge amounts of Kabbalah in it that he didn't even understand necessarily when he was writing it, with, like, the angels and the Sephiroth and, like, it and the return to unity. There's just way too much to even get into it. I could do a whole episode on Evangelion as is. But he taps into all of these currents without actually knowing it, just by proxy of studying a little Kabbalah for flavoring for his story, right? And so that's very much the way sometimes that these things work, is you will be able to invoke a really big current just off of putting some nice spicy little bits into your stuff. But then also sometimes people just come up with, like, balls at, like, to the walls wrong fiction, just, like, inaccurate, incorrect, right? And it can be really a minefield. Because sometimes a work of fiction can be, like, giving you the secret pieces that you've been missing to your paradigm, and you're like, where did this come from? And sometimes it's, like, just nothing accurate, you know?
Well, yeah, I totally get that, because, like, my magical name came from a video game that I was playing, so, yeah, I totally understand. I would actually love to do a whole episode about, like, accidental magic in media. That would actually be a lot of fun.
We're gonna talk about Chrono Trigger then, because holy shit.
I know, but first I gotta get through a couple things, because I actually would love to go on a huge rant, like a fun rant about Bayonetta and my experience with that game. Maybe I'll play Bayonetta 2 on stream or something. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and Bayonetta, it was like Devil May Cry and the whole, like,
mm-hmm. Well, they're very similar, yeah. Which is why I'm excited to get back into Devil May Cry again.
I mean, Bayonetta is even like a spiritual successor, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, to, like, rope it back to Aliens, like, man, I'm really starting to feel like there's some kind of, like, universal uniting factor between, like, beings that can will themselves into space-time at specific points, and, like, things we can't see, but that can, like, literally pull stuff out of your pockets and make you do stuff. Like, that's like some actual fucking paracausal powers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. and to do that kind of shit, you're not, if you're doing paracausal stuff, you're at least quasi 4D, you know? You're at least fucking with your timelines.
Well, yeah, one of my I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
One of my, I guess, favorite quote unquote experiences is certain beings do this thing. And, I mean, once again, I'm talking about the Fae, not to kind of bring it back the other way, because I know we're talking about fairy, but to
that's
kind
just
of
what you have the most interaction with.
Right. And Darian has experienced this as well. We'll have picked something up, we put it down, and then we lose it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be, and we know for a fact that we picked it up, put it down, but what'll happen for us, all of a sudden, it's like, we'll be looking around and moving stuff and, like, in that space, right? Because we knew we put it there. We'll trash the room and look around, and then all of a sudden, we'll look back where we were, and it's, like, it's almost as if your eyes, like, readjust. And all of a sudden, the object that you were looking for is right where you left it, but you couldn't find it before.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the most, I always kind of, like, every time that happens, I'm kind of like, what did I do? Like, what did I do to piss you off? Because that's kind of my signal of, like, I'm not doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Or I did something, when stuff like that starts happening, especially because it's just, like, this feeling of sterility, whatever that surrealness comes over comes over your mind, and I'm just like, but I just trashed the bed. So, and I'm talking about the bed because that's where it happened twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, put something on the bed. We know we put it there. We look around the bed, or under the bed, etc., and then we find it right where we left it. But it's almost as if we, like, our eyes can see it again. It's the strangest thing.
It's like it popped out of existence and then back into it. It's almost as if, like, they took the thing into their little, I don't know, pocket dimension, and then popped it back out exactly where it was.
Right, exactly.
Or they just held on to it until they were done, you were done being a dick, and then they put it right back. Like, they didn't even have to pull it out, they just put it in their hand, you know?
That's how I feel about the lighters.
I'm gonna say this, as much as I'll say on the podcast, I had times where, like, when I was truly having some, like, incredible experiences, people weren't able to physically see me. Like, I've had times where I've waved at someone in front of them, and, like, they just can't see me. It's like I physically don't exist. You know what I mean?
I have moments like that, too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, all throughout folklore and myth, there is real precedent for practitioners, you know, seemingly walking between worlds or, you know, going unnoticed, as we like to call it. But I mean, there are many spells and old grimoires and spell books that aren't even necessarily grimoires that talk about invisibility. You know, there's a lot of druidic lore. The druids were big on becoming invisible and cloaks of invisibility to make it, you know, interesting. So I mean, there's a big precedent for that in what we do. I mean, of course, it's one of those fields of magic. Or you know, studies of phenomena, what have you, that unfortunately a lot of people mock. You know, we don't really take it seriously nowadays, unfortunately. I've had experience as well where I have, you know, went between, you know, the mind of other people, you know, unable to be seen. I get it too.
Yeah, like I do that too, because I often, like, I kind of have a little bit of a sixth sense when I feel like someone's going to notice me somewhere. So I make it an extra point to not be noticeable, especially because I feel like, sometimes I feel like I can sense that there might be someone that I might not want to talk to or run into in a particular situation. And so I kind of just blend, and I'm able to, like, to dodge that situation somehow that I've kind of, like, perceived happening. I couldn't tell you that I recited a particular incantation or anything like that. I really didn't. It's a direction. It's a shift of focus and intent.
Mm-hmm. I realize that seems to be how that works really well. Like, the most effective time I've ever had that happen was like accidental magic all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I just really didn't want to be noticed. And I remember suddenly, like a trigger, when I was about to be noticed, it felt like this warm, tingling energy just, like, fell from the top of my head all the way down to my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of a sudden in the next period in school, I had a teacher saying, "Where were you last period?" Even though he was standing at my desk talking to my friends behind me. But he had no recollection of seeing me. And then when I said to him that following period, when he happened to come into the class that I had next, he came back and he was like, "Where were you today?" And I was like, I looked at him and I knew what had happened, right? But of course, I tried to, like, keep cool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I was sitting right in front of you. You were talking to," I don't know if I want to name people, but anyway, "you were talking to them, you know, right over my shoulder." And all of a sudden you could see his pupils dilate, right? And he looks at the wall, the back wall of the classroom, and you could tell, like, it comes over him. Hmm. Like, the same way, like, when I find the object that I've lost, that same I don't know if it's euphoria, but that same kind of disorienting, surreal, unreality sort of feeling, as if waking up. And you could see it in his face.
Wow.
And all of a sudden he looked back at me. He was like, oh yeah. And he walked away, like, swiping his brow. Like, as if all of a sudden he...
Like, the spell broke, or something like that.
Right. But the thing is that we're clearly able to do what they do. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a matter of training ourselves to be able to get to that state. You know, but if we're able to do that, you know, then all my experiences with... you know, time loops and things like that. I know. Scott's term for tinfoil, right?
But no, I've had some time loop stuff happen to me to the point where I had to ensure that it happened. I'm serious.
Well, I don't know if it was time loops. It was just time distortions that stopped time outside. It was peculiar. I might have talked about it already. I don't know.
I don't know, but I like when you get tinfoily because you don't do it that often.
Oh, fine. Okay. This is Jay. Like, please tell me the story. This has happened to me about 5 times throughout my entire life. Some of these situations are less compelling than others. Unfortunately, one of them I cannot remember for the life of me. I know it happened 5 times, but I cannot remember one of them. I don't know why. I don't think I'm supposed to remember. The other two, I don't remember a few of them, actually. So anyway, some of them happened while I was at home. And what it would be is this stillness, first, right? It would be this complete and utter silence. Now, I live in South Philadelphia. It is a decently sized city, right? In a very, like, close together row home, situation, neighborhood.
You can hear there's always everything. A
noise. Right. Even at night, there's always a noise.
Yep.
I straight up heard the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme right after you said South Philadelphia.
Right. There's nothing. And I looked out my window and there were no cars.
There was no birds. Sound at all.
There was no people. And I looked out my window and there were no people.
Your pocket is always bumping because you're so close to like the stadiums.
Right. There was nothing anywhere. I mean, there were cars parked, but there were no people. There were no cars. And when I'm telling you, I don't mean like just on my street. I mean like I can look down my block both ways and, you know, we have two, I forget what they're called. Some people call them like veins. Like they're like streets that are heavily populated, heavily, you know, driven. Yeah. And my house sits between two of them. There was nothing. And it was dead silent. I mean, I was terrified. And there was once again, this feeling of like, I don't know how to, the only way to put it is if you were to wake up in a video game.
Oh.
Like, you felt like it was a simulation. Like, it was the weirdest thing in the whole wide world. I don't know how to put it. But I could tell I wasn't where I was supposed to be.
Mm.
And that was one of the more scary, because I was alone for this. But now, the one that was the most prominent was one where I was across the street from our bookstore here in Center City, Reading Terminal, not Reading Terminal, the square. Jay, what is Barnes & Noble?
Oh, Rittenhouse Square.
Rittenhouse, thank you. Rittenhouse Square, I was at a bank across the street, which is like diagonal from the bookstore.
Which is so dangerous for me, because that's like walking distance from my job, and I've already been there like 4 times. But anyway, continue.
Every Friday I would probably be there buying myself a depression gift.
It's usually on paydays, which spending. Is 2 Thursdays a month. Anyway.
me and my mom were there. Now I was younger. I think I was just out of high school, or maybe it was my last year of high school, something like that. And we went in, my mom needed to get money. Because we knew we were going to do a big shopping. We both wanted a couple books. So, you know, whatever. She didn't want to use her card for whatever reason. And we went in and she got her money. And all of a sudden, as she was getting her money, this feeling, we got dizzy at the same time. And now I got nervous. I was afraid it was gas, but there was no smell. You know, you try to be rational, right? Like, you want to make sure that you're using your rational brain first. You know, she was afraid it was gas. She's a medical, you know, she's been in medical her whole life. You know, she's like, fuck, you know? So we're like, let's get out just in case. Well, we turn around from the machine, because I do that thing where, you know, like when you're protecting your friend or your whoever from other people behind you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go up and you let them type their numbers in. And we turn around and we go to open the door. Now it's weird because our eyes didn't notice the outside. I want that to be pointed out here. Like, we turned around to open these glass doors. Like, I mean, it was all window, right?
Yeah.
We could see right out.
Yeah, the whole front of that store is a giant window.
Right. Our eyes didn't adjust to the outside. We just turned around to focus on the door to leave. Now, all of a sudden, we tried the door, pushed and pulled, and we looked up. And as we're looking at people, Jay, you'll know this. You know that grate that sits right at that corner where the smoke always comes up?
Yeah.
The smoke was frozen in midair. Mm. Then I looked at the cars, and the cars weren't moving, but they were like in the middle of the street. You know what
right,
I mean?
Like that center city, there's always moving cars.
Right. And everything just seemed to stop. All the people, then I noticed the people. The people seemed to be frozen mid-walk. There was two pigeons. The pigeons were frozen mid-flight. And my mom, all of a sudden, she goes, Scott, what's happening? Now, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Now, of course, as a witch, as a practitioner, I was like, we're about to get spirited away. Holy fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
you're like, oh, shit.
This is what the doorway between worlds looks like. I was like, this is bad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if at the time I could have kept myself safe. You know, right. I was still, I mean, I was old enough, but, you know, this is something that, you know, if I were to tell any practitioner today other than you two, you would be like, well, Scott has more than just depression. There's the delusional disorder going on. But no, I lie to you not. Everything was frozen. Everything stopped. And I could see it. And then my mom saw it, which was even more confirmation. You know, my mom's not a practitioner. She's open-minded. But anyway, I tried the other door. The other door, once again, push-pull. But, you know, there's two doors. We tried all of them, all four. And nothing worked. And she starts to get really excited. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, okay. I was like, clearly we're on the threshold between this world and the other, or else the outside wouldn't look like that.
Right.
It wouldn't look like my world. You know what I mean? So I was like, we're on the threshold between worlds. I was like, what do I do? So I took a nice deep centering breath. And I was like, you know, ye gatekeepers, bring us back to the worlds. Of bring us back to the physical world, you know, close the gate, you know what I mean? And whatever I said, it was to that effect, you know what I mean? And it was very rushed because I was getting nervous. But in all honesty, it was for her, right? Like trying to tell her, you know, don't eat food, don't talk to anything,
yeah.
Like hold your breath, like trying to, like, you know, like how am I gonna give her, you know what I mean?
Eating food's rad.
There it is.
Yeah, you never have to come back if you eat the food.
Don't eat the food.
Well, if you don't, I mean,
if you want to stay, eat the food. But if you want to, you know, to make a long story short, I remember whispering this little prayer. I don't even, to be honest with you, it definitely was more like spirits listening because I really didn't put any will or intention. I was too nervous.
Right.
I didn't know how at that time to calm myself down, you know, in the midst of spiritual high strangeness. But something heard me, and all of a sudden, my mom pulled out of fear. And she actually, like, you know, like when you put way too much force on something simple and it kind of throws you a little? So you know it was frozen. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't locked, you know? And it wasn't stuck. So she pulls real hard and she almost falls. I had to catch her. And everything just is like, all of a sudden, it's like car horns start. The pigeons fly. The smoke is going. People are walking. And, and she asked me, you know, she had a really hard time, like, wrapping her head around that.
Yeah.
But then again, so did I, admittedly.
Yeah.
But, you know, for her, the explanation was simply that, you know, time is not linear and that, you know, time is like a tree and it runs, you know, all time is happening all at once. And, you know, it was just me trying to explain physics, you know, my baby-fied, stupid, you know, physics. What are those physics for dummies 101 nonsense type stuff? So people that are actually physicists, don't come for me. I don't know physics. but instead of kind of being like, oh, hey, this is the door to the spirit world, like, you know, these are the gates opening, you know, which is much more complex.
You thought that would
really
probably freak her out more.
Right. So I was like, you know what? Let's not go there. Let's just kind of do this very simplified explanation, kind of the explanation I feel like what would be given by a parapsychologist. See, that's what I hear all night, if you can hear that.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
And to not hear all that day, is too, by the way. Terrifying.
So, but yeah, I mean, like, so, and of course, experiences like that I've had, like I said, 5 times throughout my entire life, where I've almost have been shunted off to the spirit world, and I've always maintained just right at the gate, but I don't really know what I'm doing, because I mean, the energy's there, and it might be my fear, it might be why I've never actually gotten shunted all the way. But I also don't know why it happens. I'm not doing anything. I was never doing anything whilst those experiences were occurring. I was just living my life. And sometimes I think gateways, like natural, like, you know, as an animist, of course, right? Like, we understand that I perceive liminal space as natural phenomena, not necessarily just something that we can create, right? But something that the earth itself manifests, like ley lines and such, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes think that bursts of these strange pocketed vortexes appear in different places, and I think that that's what we walked into. And I think us
wrong
leaving
place
that,
at the wrong time, kind of
yeah,
situation.
Us leaving that place, you know, was just a matter of that vortex closing. Because we were there for what felt like forever, but when we looked at our phones, it wasn't very long, but it felt like 20 minutes. It felt a lot longer. So even time itself distorted our perception of time.
Yeah, when I was on the street for a little bit, it felt like weeks. Like, a single week felt like 3 of them, honestly. And I didn't have a phone to check calendars with, so that made it a lot more difficult. But like, time dilation can really kind of start to fuck you in those situations, you know? Like, 1 minute you think, oh no, it's fine, and the next minute you're finding like newspapers from 10 years ago and you read it and it's like 2010 and you're like, excuse me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like, as magicians, if you actually get effects over a certain level, it's kind of like you incur a certain amount of paracausality, which means like paracausal abilities are the abilities to shape or adjust reality according to your will. So essentially, magic, right? So, I think magicians of a certain level start experiencing timeline fuckery. Like, this one person who used to be a teacher of mine used to always talk about meditating and going off on journeys to, like, visit other versions of himself in alternate dimensions so they could, like, work with each other together. And this was, like, before Rick and Morty. So he wasn't just, like, ripping that off in any way, right? But that's very much something that he spoke about doing. And I have actually even had dreams of myself in other timelines. Like, I had a dream of myself in the timeline where I became a cop, no joke. And I was a horrible piece of shit. And stuff like that. Like, you can kind of get glimpses into, like, other timelines you've had. Or you almost kind of get the ability to will yourself out of a bad situation. Have either of you heard of quantum suicide?
No.
No. But I feel like you've mentioned it.
Yeah, it's the idea that when, like, you die, you don't necessarily die, that you go on to the timeline where you didn't die, and you essentially perceive your longest possible timeline. Now, yes. There's certain factors that will affect this. Like, what will often get you most with quantum suicide is the fate that you sow yourself. So, like, if you have bad health habits that lead you down a certain path, that might be what gets you, right? But it's certainly not going to be a random car accident when you're 10 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you did talk about that before. I just forgot the name of what.
So It's interesting, Sophia, because I don't even think when you mentioned this before, I don't think I made the connection. But to kind of bring up once again, where I, you know, I love talking, like finding historical precedents for things. There's a, see, a lot of people don't understand this. I'm sure you both do, but rebirth and reincarnation are not the same thing. And okay. What you're explaining is rebirth. That it, at least it falls in line closer with rebirth than it does reincarnation. So that's really interesting.
What's rebirth?
So rebirth is the idea. So like reincarnation is a process, right? Reincarnation has sort of a series of things that occur between death and new life. Rebirth is you die, you walk through a door, and there is you're living another life.
But you're still you. You're not a different body.
Right.
So you are still the same body that you were.
You know, Scott, in that book you told me to look into, Lightning in My Blood, they talk about shamanism, and I'm gonna just say this on the podcast right now. Shamanism is not a North American indigenous practice like a lot of people think it is. That's medicine, okay? And a lot of people very falsely equate the two. They're not. Actually, the word shaman, I think, comes from Siberia, and it means to be consumed in flame. Like, it's actually highly disrespectful to call, like, an indigenous person who works medicine a shaman when they're, in fact, a medicine person, right? Or
remember, I was trying to tell you, you weren't sure. I was telling you, remember I was saying that to you a little while ago?
Yeah, and I've actually read a post from somebody who's indigenous saying that as well, which really just gave me that good feeling of, like, see, I fucking told y'all so. But anyways, in that book, oh fuck, cut this part out. What was I trying to tie it to? What were we just talking about?
Rebirth.
Right. So in that book, there's a quote, and it says, life for the shaman begins after death, or where others would die, or something along those lines. It's kind of interesting, and I almost thought, oh, is like... shamanism the process where you die but then don't die because you go to an alternate timeline and therefore you become a paracausal entity who no longer exists in base 3D space-time?
I suppose. I don't know. So if the concept of rebirth is that you enter your life in a different timeline, then I suppose void that you have in the previous timeline, I suppose you could travel back to it. Maybe that's what ghosts are.
I don't think in anything that I've ever experienced with time travel and stuff, you can never go back to a timeline you diverged from. You can go to different ones, but you can never return to one that you've been from.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you do go back, people don't see you as your body. They see you as your spirit.
I don't know if you could go back, though. I mean, maybe. Who the fuck knows, right? But...
it's like, why do we see, like, you know, like, oh, I see the spirit of my grandmother. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's a lot of different theories on that one.
For example, I do ancestor working, so I have a chair for my ancestors where I give them offerings and I do specific stuff like that. So, like, if my grandfather or grandmother or any of my other ancestors showed up to me, it wouldn't necessarily be a question of why. It's almost like that's naturally a process that makes sense to me, and they're showing up to give me guidance, you know?
Yeah, it's not so much why, but it's how.
So remember how we talked about in the death episode how when you die, like, the memories of you is what gets carried on by someone else?
So maybe your spirit is your...
I kind of think... yeah, that's like what the ancestors are in a way, is like the spirits who can see you from the other side who take care of you, but also like those genetic memories passed on to you. Because, like, when I was born, I just knew how to use a fucking knife. Nobody had to teach me or nothing. I was just good with a knife. Where did that come from? Was that genetic memory? Was that spirit memory? Fuck if I know, right? But I'm good with a knife, you know?
Hmm.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I know, this is one of those huh episodes where I'm gonna, like, fall asleep like, huh. Well, what about...
No. It was really enlightening. I mean, like, the amount of stuff that this kind of led us into, it's interesting. Like, I mean, it really is. It's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and I don't think at the end of the day
we're not gonna have a clear answer in this episode, that's for sure. I mean, like, we didn't even have a question about aliens. We were just like, aliens, discuss. So
the government did declassify a bunch of documents, though, about, like, stargates and stuff, and go figure, they're real.
Why would they do that, though?
I honestly really think that they're tired of the old Aeon. Like, honestly, if I'm gonna be real clear, the world isn't run by one cohesive world government Illuminati. The world elite are a bunch of pricks who fight amongst each other for control, and there's a ton of them, right? There's no cohesion amongst the world elite. Anybody who's willing to disseminate information like that is on our side. So if, like, those people, not necessarily all the Pentagon or all the CIA...
Was it leaked? Or was it...
No, it was officially declassified.
I don't know, but who has to approve that?
I can find you the documents.
I think this is a topic that could probably go on for...
Oh, yeah.
...some time. But we are coming up on under 2 hours. So, any concluding statements on aliens?
Aliens are real. Some of them are your friends. Some of them are pricks. Sometimes they just look like kids, so you better be nice, because that kid who's talking to you might actually be like a fourth dimensional time traveler who's like here just for a vacation, man, and they're not putting up with none of your bullshit, so just, like, give them a fucking break.
Any closing comments on aliens?
I don't know if it's necessarily on aliens, but more just because I just want to kind of say, you know, don't be those people who police other people's experiences. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I know that all three of us kind of really opened up with this episode, and maybe
it's a slippery
about things.
Slope.
Yeah, so don't be all like, you know, these people are whatever I see them as, blah blah blah.
We're guilty of it too, though. Like, I know I'm guilty of it. Like,
we are, but you know, it doesn't hurt to be reminded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to play.
I even have to remind myself.
Me too. Of course, we all do. We're all people, right? We're all human. So. Yeah, these are real experiences, and yeah,
so I guess
aliens love you.
You can find Witches Betwixt on the big three social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our handle is Witches Betwixt, all one word, on all three platforms. We all check each one, except Twitter, which is exclusively run by me, Jay, but feel free to message us on any of them, and we'll get back to you. If you want to add your post to our online community, use the hashtag WBTWXT. The links to our official Facebook group, Discord server, and website are in the show notes below.